Titus chapter 2, hear now the word of our Lord. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, and teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, and in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, they having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Amen. Our second hymn this morning is hymn number 47.
Got a little bit of a frog this morning. Hopefully I'll get through it or you can hear me all right. Won't be long, starting maybe next week. I'm heading to the floor. I'll sure miss the forum. I go to a regular church down there. I don't know why. I believe it or not, in the community that you live, little circle, there's a lot of Christians in that circle, in fact, most of them. I can get more good out of staying home Sunday morning and studying the scripture by myself. Believe it or not, the rest of the community in the circle I live can't understand it. What kind of Christian are you if you don't go to church? So I go to church. Hypocrite, I guess that's called. But there's a big difference when you go. When you rightly divide the scriptures the best that you know how, and when you go to the traditional church, and it's terrible how they've generally named everything Israel, church, and it's all one thing, all mixed up. It truly does not make sense at all once you know how to halfway divide the scripture. So, needless to say, I missed the forum for 6 months. I'm not saying that everything said here in the forum is perfectly right every time. In fact, Pete don't agree with me 2/3 of the time. So it doesn't mean that everything has to be exactly right, but we're at least strives to rightly divide. So that little comment this morning, I'll be glad when I get back. This morning I got a little different lesson than normal. Who are the principalities and powers? I used to read it and kind of wonder who the principalities and powers are in heavenly places. And then as we study the scripture a little bit, we see how is God's wisdom made known to them. And we're going to find out this morning that the church, which is his body, is the wisdom he uses to them. Now, how does he do that? Well, let's start with Romans 8, 38 and 39. I think you'll find that on page 1680. First, we've got to find out who the principalities and powers are. I don't know where you'll... Pete's kind of went over that. I'm a little disadvantaged on that. I don't know what he teaches every Sunday, so maybe you've already had this lesson. So if you don't, if you have, why, close your ears for a little while. Principalities and powers. Who are they? Let's read Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded, and neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to read that 38th again. Read, listen real close. I am persuaded that neither death, now listen to this, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor. Now, the phrase nor angels here is followed then by principalities and nor powers. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that principalities and powers are not angels, right? When you read it that way, that don't take much brains to see that principalities and powers are different than angels. Now, the Hebrew word translated angels is malak, M-A-L-A-K, which means, listen to this, to dispatch as a deputy, a messenger specifically of God. So angels are messengers. However, principalities and powers are a different order of spirit beings. They're not the same. Now, what are principalities and powers exactly? What do they do? I can't tell you. Scripture doesn't say. But we see they are spirit beings. Now, another passage that speaks of principalities and powers, turn to Ephesians, over a couple more verses, a couple more chapters, 1762 in your Bible. We're going to look at Ephesians, the very first chapter. We're going to look at verse 20 through 21. Page 1762. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, the key word in this verse we just read here, in this passage, is world, W-O-R-L-D. The Greek word means age. This scripture, what, tells us that these principalities and powers are evidently going to exist in the next age, as well as in the age we are now in. Now, we're getting a little bit of a glimpse of what the principalities and powers are. Let's look at one more. If you turn to Ephesians, the third chapter, 7th verse through 10, page 1764. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of him of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now here's the verse we want. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That's a great verse, is it not? We find two key words, and they are now and by, in the scripture I just read. The Greek word for by here is dia. It has a sense, if you can think of this, through, as though dividing a surface by an intersecting line. It includes the idea, now this is the main part of it, of passing from and passing out. In other words, dividing from, going through. In other words, what do we have here? The manifold wisdom of God is made known to who? The principalities and powers through who? The church. Isn't that strange? And the time in which this happens is when? Now. In this phrase, that is to say, the church, which is his body, after Israel was set aside at Acts 28:28, that's one of the manifold ideas that the church was made for, is to show the principalities and powers something. Now, let's summarize that just a little bit. After Israel was set aside, and the church, which is his body, began, the manifold wisdom of God was made known through the church, through to the principalities and powers in heaven. It was not made known by Israel. It's a difference there. The church here is created for one of the reasons, to show the principalities and power God's wisdom. That tells us that Satan and the principalities and powers knew nothing about the church, which is his body. Before the foundation of the earth, God kept secret the mystery, and he knew Israel would not repent as a nation, and yet he had plans for the church, which is his body. What an amazing thing we see, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. He had a purpose, and a plan. Pete kind of had been going over that in the last couple of weeks, a purpose and a plan. This is one of the purpose and the plan that God had. Unlike Israel, which was a witness to the nations, right? Pete told you that several times. Israel and church are separated. Most traditional churches, the one I go to, I don't know the difference. Never heard of it. Got them all mixed together. So Israel was a witness to the nations of the earth. We see in the passage that we have just read, one reason, at least, his church was created was to be a witness to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's something great, is it not? I don't know where you knew that or not. Let's go on. I would like to look at another passage, Ephesians 6 chapter. If you will, turn over a couple more verses, a couple more pages. We're going to look at 11 through 13. Put on the armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but who? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the Greek word here translated high that we just read here in verse 13 is the same word translated heaven. Obviously, then, evil spirits, beings, are not in the heaven where Christ is, as seated, but as because God cannot dwell with evil. Therefore, they must be in the heavens below where God is seated, because they are spoken of here in this connection with spiritual wickedness. They must be spiritual beings. Therefore, we may conclude that the principalities and powers are, as I said before, spiritual beings. Now, we read those verses here. It says, back here, we wrestle against them, proves they have sided against God's people and have sided against God, and they have sided with the enemy of Satan, the evil one. So that's what we're fighting against today. They have joined forces with Satan. Now let's look at Colossians, first chapter, 16th verse, page 1782. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions, or look at here, or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, the fact that these spirit beings were created by Christ tells us that they were not created wicked. They were not against God's people, as some now are at this time. What happened? God created them perfect, did he not? Apparently, they rebelled. Probably, don't hold me to this, probably at the same time when Lucifer rebelled against God by declaring that he wanted to be as God. Now, the Greek word for principalities in Ephesians 3:10 is arche, A-R-K-E-E. And almost always, not 100%, but almost always, it is translated in the scripture, in the rest of the scripture, as beginning. But it can't not be translated in Ephesians 3:10 as the beginning. Therefore, we have to look and see what it must mean. In regards to spirit beings, the principalities that we're talking about here, apparently they are the chief then, or top of the order of spirit beings in heavenly places. Apparently that's what the principalities and powers are. They must have been number one, or the chief of them. Now, the Greek word for powers in Ephesians 3:10, I don't know how to pronounce it. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. Pete can do them better than I do, like exousia or something. Now, what do we have that? That tells us then they are spirit beings, but somewhat different than the principalities. So we have principalities and powers as spirit beings, not the same. And we've already established that they are not the same as angels. But God created them, and he created them perfect, and he created them for himself. They are God's creation, but somewhat different. Maybe someday when we get to heaven, we will know what the principalities and the angels and et cetera are different, and how they're different and how God created them. Now, I hope I've shown you, I believe we have determined who principalities and powers are in heavenly places. And they were created by him, created perfect. Now, how, the lesson we want to study here, how in God's wisdom, how is God's wisdom made known to them, to this group, through the church? How are we going to do that? I mean, how's it? That's what it said. Well, we have read many verses that suggest a warfare, right, between believers, the church, and spiritual beings in heavenly places. Paul tells us of armor that God has given to believers of the present dispensation. What? To protect us from the wicked spirit beings. That's what the armor was for, was it not? It was to protect us here from those powers, spiritual beings that are in the lower heavens, which also have access to the earth. Now, you will know, however, that the armor that was from God is not directly connected to the wisdom of God, is it not? The armor that we've seen that we have, that didn't show anything about God's wisdom, does it? It showed what it was for, but I can't see any connection between the armor and the wisdom of God. So that raises the following question. Was the armor given to protect the believers from spiritual wickedness, given to manifest God's wisdom? Is that what it was for? Or was it given just to protect us? Well, in my humble opinion, which certainly may not be right, the armor was given to both protect believers and to show God's wisdom. Now, how can that be done? Well, it shows that God had known from before the creation, before the world was ever created, that Israel would reject her risen Messiah. He planned this way before, even before there was an Israel. He knew that Israel would reject him as a risen Messiah. And it also, his wisdom is shown here that they would be put aside. And it also shows that God had planned for that event in choosing for himself the church, which would be the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So there's a great big lots of planning by our God, right? Even purposing the plan, he had it all planned out. He knew there was no Israel. He knew there would be an Israel. He knew it would be rejecting. He planned for the church, and he's using the church to show his wisdom to those princes and the powers that failed him. Now we know the specific wisdom of God that was shown to the principalities and powers in heavenly places through the church. They are aware, don't think they aren't, they are aware that God had it all planned. God had known even before the creation of the world that Satan would be successful in his efforts to have Israel reject her risen Messiah. Yeah, that is the wisdom of God again. It shows that God knew, that he knew that Satan would rebel. He knew that Satan would be successful in getting Israel to not repent. But God, having known, he planned for a different outcalling, the church, which is his body. This outcalling is unlike Israel, which was a witness to the nations of the earth. However, that is not the purpose of the church, of the one body. We were created to be a witness to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Isn't that amazing? God's plan. He had a plan, and it's a different one than lots of the traditional churches do not understand. They mix it all together. Now, a little bit ago, I made the statement a few moments ago that I believe that the armor is given to believers to both protect them and to show forth God's manifold wisdom to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, there are several verses in the Bible to show that God has always used his people, whether they be the nation of Israel or the church, which is his body, as a witness as to who he is, while at the same time protecting them. So, I think the armor was made, in my opinion, for both ways, to protect us, and they also used the church then, and they, as a fight against those princes and powers, to show them who he is. How will God's wisdom be made known to these principalities and powers in the future? Up to date, that's what we are to do today. That's the wisdom God used. How's it going to be in the future? Well, the Greek word phanero, that's translated in Colossians 3:4. I'd like for you to read in Colossians 3:4 with me. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now this word here, appear, phaneru, I guess is probably the correct word, is here translated as appear. That's a very, very poor translation. It should have been rendered manifest. Many other scriptures translated this same word, phaneru, and they translated in all the other places as manifest. Now, this particular verse is telling us that in the future, Christ will be manifested when? As the church is resurrected to the heavenly place. Now, what's manifest mean? Christ will be manifested as to what? Well, I am suggesting that this verse tells us when believers of the church are resurrected, Christ will be made manifested as resurrection life. Now you got, why do I say that? It's made manifested to who? The principalities and powers in heavenly places. They thought they knew it all. They rebelled. They find out they didn't know near as much as they knew. They wouldn't have had Christ been an instrument in having Christ crucified if they didn't know everything. They didn't know he was going to raise himself from the dead. So here he's manifesting himself as resurrected life when the church comes forth. Now let us summarize this. When the church, which is his body, is resurrected to their eternal home in heaven, then the wisdom as shown in God's plan of salvation will really be made manifest to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. They will then know that the church, those who have accepted him, those who believe in him, those who have been resurrected to life with the Savior who has been resurrected to life, then God's wisdom is really going to be manifested to them. That's in the future. Now, in closing this morning, I believe that most of us believers have a few questions or a few curious ideas that cannot be answered until we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. And our lesson today is obvious, now listen to this, that spiritual beings were created perfect. Those principalities and powers were created perfect, and yet they rebelled. We know the angels were created perfect, and yet some of them rebelled. Therefore, we must conclude that they were given what? Free will, were they not? God created them, but he gave them free will. And he gave them free will in a perfect environment. That was perfect environment in heaven. It appears to me that all of God's creation have always been given free will. I mean, what else can you say? We only hear of the angels. We heard of those principalities and power. That's the only thing we've seen there. And they were in what? They were up in the heavens where God is seated, and they were created perfect. In closing today, my question to all you knowledgeable people here today, when resurrected believers are raised, wow, incorruptible, right? And then we're placed in a perfect environment with God, assuming if we are given freedom of choice, assuming that, it appears to me that everything God created has always been perfect. So, when we are raised incorruptible and put back up into heaven in a perfect environment, and assuming he gives us freedom of choice, such as he did the angels and principalities and powers, will we ever sin? That's something for you to think of next week. After we avoid, and he makes us perfect, and we're perfect, and he puts us in that environment, as is all there, everything else was, that we seem to know, will there be sin sometime in heaven? Will we fail, like the angels did, like the principalities and powers did, like man, Adam and Eve did when they were in the earth? They were set in perfect environment. I will admit they were set in perfect environment and then Satan came along, but Satan didn't come along in the first part up there. Satan was a beautiful angel, perfect. What crept in? Something for you to study. Maybe you know the answer. Maybe Pete knows the answer. I don't know. It's always bugged me a little bit when I studied a little bit and found out that everything God created and he gave him free will, I'm assuming that he don't want us up in heaven like this. He could have done that all the time way before now. He could have done that with the angel. Could have done that with principalities of power, made them robots. So if we're going to have fellowship, just exactly what heaven is, I don't know. I go to the traditional church, they got all the answers on how heaven is. I don't quite know what it's going to be. But if he gives us free will again, it's kind of bugged me. Maybe I think too much, bothered me. But I don't understand what will eventually happen in ages and ages and ages. You think anything? Think a little, anybody got any opinion on that, or you want to take it home and sleep on it a little bit? Let me ask you one question. I think you all know the answer. You all know what the kingdom of heaven is, right? Right? Who's in the kingdom of heaven? I think we've peeked one over. Who's in the kingdom of heaven? The righteous ones, right? Those who accepted Christ in the kingdom of heaven. Anybody that came over, the resurrected ones that came back down, naturally, they're in the kingdom. And those that were alive on the earth during that time got to come in, and they were examined, or the credentials, are you, and otherwise thrown out in the nation. So we have in the kingdom of heaven God, Jesus Christ, I shall say, Christ Jesus in the kingdom of heaven, ruling and reigning with 1,000 years with perfect, or let's say, believers that have been good people. I mean, understand what I'm saying? Is there going to be sin in the kingdom of heaven then, versus what you just told me? I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. I've switched on you. I'm throwing a little one in here on you. You don't think there will be any sin possible in heaven? Should there not been any possibility of sin then in the kingdom of heaven? Down here on earth, it's perfect environment again, right? You understand my theory? No, not in the... I put you over here in the kingdom of heaven, not in the millennial side. In the kingdom of heaven. Can't get in there if you... The first place, the only ones that are coming down have already been resurrected, right? Okay. When the kingdom of heaven set up, there were people in the rest of the nations that came over to get in. They were pitched out if they weren't saved. So the question I'm asking then, is there sin? Can there be sin in that perfect environment? That's still a perfect environment there. And you are... correct that the principalities and powers are going to get that straight now. Are they already, Satan's already chained up. Satan's already chained up during that 1,000 years.
Nobody's going to be loosed again.
Huh?
He'll be loosened.
Yeah, but not during the 1,000 years, which would have been a perfect environment. Only reason I'm questioning, I'm asking you, they got a perfect, in my estimation, you had in the kingdom of heaven, a perfect environment. You have to study it, but there's sin in that environment. Sin does take place. I could have to give you a whole, I got it sometime if you want to hear it, a whole lesson on there was sin in the kingdom of heaven. In a perfect environment, people that have already accepted Christ and have incorruptible body. Now, that's whether that can be sin in heaven, ever happen, that's up for you to study. I don't know what your answer will be. It's just a question, just something to think about. There shouldn't be. I know what runs in your mind. Shouldn't have been with the powers and the... principalities either. I don't know. Just a question for you to think about. Time's up, I guess.